Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the action on the field and in the dugout with Season 2 of Play Loud. Follow some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in the field and catch all the hilarious conversations between players off the field with unprecedented access. Watch episodes of Play Loud at youtube.com/MLB. Play Loud brings you baseball like you've never seen before. Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the action on the field and in the dugout with Season 2 of Play Loud. Follow some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in the field and catch all the hilarious conversations between players off the field with unprecedented access. Watch episodes of Play Loud at youtube.com/MLB. Play Loud brings you baseball like you've never seen before.
Once again, I am totally in awe of the Weather Channel. Totally in awe of other network and local outlets who have undertaken the challenging task of covering what is a monster storm. Hurricane Ian. Right now, power outages in Florida top 2.3 million homes and businesses. 2.3 million. And even though Ian is down to a category one, the storm is still moving extremely slowly. Winds are still at 75 miles per hour. And it's still dumping buckets and buckets and buckets of rain. Now in the Daytona Beach area, Orlando getting hit by a ton of water. I am, like many of you, thinking of friends and family that I know in Florida, some of them on the Southwest coast, the Gulf Coast, where Ian first made landfall earlier on Wednesday. And I heard from a family member who was with some friends. Now, she just moved to the area, oh my gosh, 2-3 weeks ago, and moves right into the path of Hurricane Ian. Anyway, she just moved there and she made some friends, thankfully. She's renting a house and she said that it was storm ready and it had storm windows and her new neighbors were helping her to try to secure everything and get her belongings off the patio. And she even said that she had packed a bag and was staying with those friends so that she did not have to be by herself. So she sent me a message earlier and said, "This hurricane is unbelievable. Right now I'm safe. I'm with my friends." But I've not heard back from her again since this afternoon. And just watching not only the Weather Channel, but some of the Orlando and local area broadcasters. I've got Fox News up now in the studio, and they're doing straight weather coverage now. And the amount of rain that has fallen, too, in some of these places, getting close to 17, 18 inches of rain. And not to mention the storm surge now, they're saying, could be in some places greater than 18 feet. 18 feet of storm surge. So think about it. For those of you who know anything about the ocean and tides, when the tide comes in, which apparently for a good portion of that Southwest Gulf Coast is early, so it's overnight. It's early coming up on Thursday morning. They believe the storm surge could be well over 15 feet in some places. And there are water rescues that now law enforcement and first responders are having to do. People are stranded in homes where they live on the second floor or up on their roofs, although the winds would make it really difficult to be out in the elements. If you've watched any of the Weather Channel on Wednesday, again, I'm in awe of what these people do. And it's not just the reporters and the meteorologists, the ones you see on camera, but think about the people who are holding the cameras, the photogs and the producers and the techs who are out in the elements and behind the scenes working long hours to track the storm. So I appreciate their dedication. There was one moment today that really kind of underscores, at least that will stick with me. There, I'm sure, many moments. But one moment specifically where I'm watching live and I see Jim Cantore, who was in, think he was in the Punta Gorda area, and he's standing on a street corner. Now, there's not a lot of people out for obvious reasons. There was one pickup truck that drove by, but there weren't a lot of people out, and it's daytime, but the rain, the winds are incredible, and he's standing on a street corner. All of a sudden, this massive gust of wind comes by and blows him over, and he stumbles, and he goes down on one leg and then grabs onto a signpost, whips around because of the wind, and is able to prevent himself from blowing out into the street. It was a very athletic move. Grabbed onto the signpost. Now, producer Jay tells me he got hit by a branch today. Wait, you saw this?
Yeah, that was right before in that same video. So it wasn't a big branch, but it was you standing in the middle of the road.
I got hit by a branch not that long ago, and it was painful.
You did. It's painful nonetheless. But yeah, he was in the middle of the road, like, you know, the winds, the same thing you're describing, and all of a sudden this just piece of a tree just comes and hits him in the middle of the road. And the best part is my favorite with him. The whole time he's just like, I'm fine, I'm good. They're like, Jim, you all right? He's like, I'm good. Like, he's getting blown over.
Yeah, he's a rock star. But it is no laughing matter because there is debris flying all over Florida. In fact, there have been tornadoes that have touched down. I know there have been flash flood emergencies and flash flood warnings that are issued all over the state. So, yeah, right now, the power outages in some counties are at 100% or 98%. So Charlotte County, 98%. DeSoto County, 100% power outage. Sarasota County, 89% without power. And I had mentioned last night on the show that after the hurricane went through Cuba, the entire power grid to the island of Cuba was out. And so I was able to make contact with a couple of my Cuban friends and family. Thankfully, they are safe, but their infrastructure is not equipped and not bolstered enough to withstand storms and wind and rains like this. And I would say they're more used to them, but it's never easy. It's like Puerto Rico or Haiti or the Dominican Republic. They just don't have the infrastructure to prepare, even the sandbags to try to prevent the water. And so even now, the winds and the rain are continuing to blast the state of Florida. And so I will say the same thing I said last night, thinking of the Sunshine State, and there will be other people who are in the path of the storm. Even though it has been downgraded to a Category 1, there are still wind reports, gusts of over 100 miles per hour in some places. So it's scary. It's not done. And on the back half of the storm is when the storm surge takes place. When the tide is high and the storm surge comes in, that's when it can be extremely dangerous. If homes and businesses aren't flooded at this point, or maybe they have minimal flooding, there still is the potential for unbelievable water and flooding even after the storm has moved through. So, man, watching the coverage and seeing what people are dealing with and going through, just have been mesmerized by it all day. And yes, I am in awe of the Weather Channel and meteorologists and broadcasters and reporters and producers and camera operators who have been out in the elements. Long hours, if nothing else, it's long hours in order to be able to offer the information and to help people stay safe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm such a weather nerd. In fact, when people ask me the question about what I would do if I wasn't in sports, I think from now on I'm just going to say meteorology. I would be a meteorologist. I would. I don't want to be on camera though. We do have some good radio meteorology outlets. For instance, AccuWeather. Now, they do some TV as well, but they've been providing radio weather reports as long as I've been in the business. Man, some of the photos. Marco Island is underwater. Marco Island and Sanibel, for those of you who know anything about Sanibel Island, that's off Clearwater in that area. Gosh, there will be more photos and more videos to come in on Thursday once the sun comes up. And that's the crazy part, right? Once the storm is gone, the sun, in fact, does come out. And it's almost this strange dichotomy. Florida sunshine, the sunshine state, and yet damage and devastation in the wake of Florida, which is now under a state of emergency. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So I had the Weather Channel on at my house for, oh, I don't know, 7 hours before I left. And I also had on Yes Network. So for people who live in New York City, New York State, in New Jersey, surrounding areas, Southern Connecticut, well, you know that the Yes Network offers the coverage of Yankees games. That is the Yankees home network. In fact, it's partially owned by the New York Yankees. And it had been over a week since Aaron Judge had hit home run number 60. In Toronto, not the same atmosphere as in New York, but a home run pitch is a home run pitch, and it was quite a battle for Aaron Judge as he stepped to the plate in the seventh inning.
And the payoff. There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single season record. With 61 home runs, it's a two-run Judgeian blast. Here comes the Judge. A two-run blast, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead on number 61 for Judge.
And the entire Yankee team is out on the field. They are hugging him one by one. Patty Judge is standing behind the Yankee dugout. She got a big smile on her face.
Ricky Ricardo. Rogers Center in Toronto. 3-3. Mesa Lanza. Judge. Batazo. Profundo por el izquierdo. Olvídala. Exa. Se va. Se va. Se fue. La número 61 se fue. Muévase un poquito, Roger Maris. Hay otro que se quiere sentar en la mesa. El juez, Aaron Judge. Culpable. De empatar el récord de los Yankees, de empatar el récord de la Liga Americana, llegó al norte de la frontera, Aaron Judge, el número 61. Los Yankees se van adelante 5-3 y Judge empata a Roger Maris.
Oh, I love Ricky Ricardo, who was a guest earlier this season here on After Hours. Before that, John Sterling and Susan Waldman, the English language version of the Yankees radio network. The eighth pitch of the at-bat. And so he had gone to a full count. He fouled off a couple of pitches once again. And this time he was able to tag one, and it was a laser shot. So Sterling's standard call is it is high, it is far, it is deep, it is whatever. He obviously couldn't do all of that because, I mean, he jammed in a couple of those words, but it got out so fast. It smacked off the wall of the bullpen into the Blue Jays bullpen, right? And so it turned out not to be a fan who ended up with the ball. In fact, this is kind of crazy. I found this out on Twitter. I didn't know this, but someone sent me a notification to indicate the connection. For those of you who know Sarah Walsh, Sarah is now with the NFL Network. It's a longtime TV sports broadcaster. And apparently her husband is the bullpen coach of the Blue Jays. And he ended up with the baseball because it banged off the wall above the Blue Jays pen. So he ends up with the baseball. And I'm assuming that he handed it over to, I mean, he's in baseball, right? Handed it over to the Yankees and Aaron Judge because, first of all, Sarah kind of tweeted a joke about that. She'd like to announce their divorce. But also because I've seen video of Aaron with the ball. So who knows if he had to give anything up to the bullpen coach of the Blue Jays. But if you're in baseball, I feel like that's sacred. There's no way that you're keeping that ball if you actually work in baseball.
So it says that Romano gave the ball over to Zach Britton, who came over from the Yankees dugout after a couple minutes, and then Britton gave the ball back in, accompanied by security guards, and well, 'cause that's a valuable baseball right there. So
yes.
Yeah, he just gave it up for nothing.
Good for him. I don't know that I would have given it up for completely nothing, but this is an age-old debate. Would you save it? Would you sell it for millions of dollars? Because you could. In fact, the fan who caught home run number 60 decided to keep it, actually, even though that's not worth nearly as much as 61. But there are people who indicated that home run ball number 60 could be worth $150,000, $200,000. I suspect the money and the price tag will go up if he ends up owning the record all by himself. So right now he is tied with Roger Maris. And it was really neat, even though the entire Maris family did not make the trip to Toronto, Roger Maris Jr. was there, as well as Patty Judge. And Patty, his mom, had been calm. She had been smiling despite all of the walks that he had been able to draw over the course of the trip in Toronto. And let's be fair. Number one, he was still hitting the ball when he had an opportunity. He was staying very patient at the plate, but he did have multiple hits over the course of this last week, this seven-game drought. I'm using my air quotations. He did have plenty of hits. His on-base percentage, phenomenal, roughly 50%. In fact, it may have been a little higher than 50% over the course of this last week since he hit number 60. He's had a ton of walks. He's crossed the plate a bunch because he's been on base and his teammates have picked him up and driven him in. So it wasn't the entire Maris family, all the kids. It wasn't his whole family. I don't think his wife was there because I didn't see his wife or his dad in the stands. But his mom was a fixture and she was sitting right next to Roger Maris Jr. So it's cool to see Aaron talk about them and them being in Toronto.
That was incredible. You know, it was great seeing her smile. And then I tried to give a little nod to, you know, Roger Maris Jr. for, you know, coming out here, supporting, being at all the home games the past couple weeks. And, you know, just having that type of support from him, it means a lot. That's for sure.
We've got a lot more from Aaron Judge about home run number 61, which ties him with Roger Maris, who set the record on the last day of the regular season in 1961. Aaron still has, what, five games to go before the season is over. I'd have to look at their record. Their record is now 96-59, which means he's got seven games left, right? So the season is about a week remaining, and we could get more home runs from both Aaron as well as Albert Pujols, though Pujols actually wasn't in the lineup on Wednesday, unless he was a pinch hitter, but I didn't see him in the lineup initially. I'm happy for Aaron. It was a sweet moment. It wasn't the crazy electric buzz that was really permeating the Bronx and Yankee Stadium over the course of their homestand. But the Blue Jays fans did cheer. There were plenty of Yankees fans there too. But I thought something interesting. He did not do a curtain call because there was no demand for it. They're in Toronto, and Toronto is trying to secure a playoff spot as well. So yeah, it was just kind of cool to see the more subdued atmosphere, though all of his teammates came out onto the warning track in front of the dugout, in front of the fence, well, the barrier there at the top step of the dugout, and they all were able to greet him before he ever went into the dugout. And the hugs, the embraces, the smiles, it just felt like release and relief for Aaron Judge. Even if the pressure for him is a fairly common element to his career, because he plays in New York, because of his stature, his size, the fact that he does have this loud bat. You know, going back to his rookie year, he's been a larger than life personality and a larger than life piece of the Yankees team, and obviously their plans moving forward because of the whole contract situation and obviously the assault on the record book. So he's been dealing with the pressure. He's a triple crown candidate, for heaven's sakes. It's not as though he can't perform under pressure, but the smile on his face to finally have 61 over and done with, and certainly the fact that he wasn't selling out just to hit the home run. The team's already clinched the AL East title, or the division title. The team has already been able to secure its spot in the postseason. And he's been very consistent about the fact that winning is the most important thing. And he doesn't take the day off after they clinch the AL East. There was a big debate going on in New York radio that he should take the day off because the postseason is coming and he's been in the lineup day after day and night after night. So congratulations to Aaron Judge, to the Judge family, and I think it's very classy of Roger Maris Jr. and the Maris family to welcome him to the club. Now, one more means he owns the Yankees' single season record and the American League record all by his lonesome. We're just getting started. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hope that you survived your hump day. Certainly for those in Florida, we're thinking of you with the 2.3 million people now who do not have power. We're here to keep you company if you're elsewhere and the storm is still bearing down on you. It's After Hours on...
Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the action on the field and in the dugout with season two of Play Loud. Follow some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in the field and catch all the hilarious conversations between players off the field with unprecedented access. Watch episodes of Play Loud at youtube.com/MLB. Play Loud brings you baseball like you've never seen before.
I'm Mandy Bell.
And I'm Sarah Langs.
We're reporters for MLB.com, and our new podcast, Fielding Questions, will explain why baseball players are so superstitious, what separates the best ballparks from the rest, and all those other things you always wanted to know about baseball. You know, the greatest sport in the world.
You can subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Home to all the jaw-dropping moments. Home to all the best plays in the league. Home to your favorite players from the cities you love. MLB.tv is the home of streaming baseball. Home or away, catch all the MLB action this season with live and on-demand content across all your devices. Enjoy MLB Big Inning, select pregame and postgame coverage, and an expanded library of highlights and content. Never miss a moment of the action with MLB.tv. Stream every game from every team all season long with MLB.tv.
Blackout and other restrictions apply.
CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run Judgian blast. Here comes the judge. A two-run blast, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead on number 61 for Judge.
And the entire Yankee team is out on the field. They are hugging him one by one. Patty Judge is standing behind the Yankee dugout. She got a big smile on her face.
Well, I was hoping it got over the fence. I didn't know at first. You know, I didn't want to... You know, be standing at home plate when it hits the wall, and you know, it's an incredible honor. And you know, there was a lot of emotions. You know, it took me a little longer than I wanted to, but you know, getting a chance to add two runs to the board. You know, how about Gary get another win? This is something pretty special.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gerrit Cole on the mound picking up win number 13 as the Yankees add another win to their tally, getting closer to 100. But on this Wednesday night, the number that matters most is 61. And you hear Aaron Judge after hitting that iconic home run in the seventh inning in Toronto in game number 155. John Sterling and Susan Waldman on Yankees Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm actually interested in your opinion about this. Because I've seen some people, including some in sports media, debate that this is not an important number, that it doesn't matter. So what? It's not a single season record. Why are we celebrating league records? But the number itself is so iconic. Number 61, Roger Maris hitting 61 in 61. And the record has stood for so long. Now, as much as I appreciate what Roger Maris and his family went through, remember, they wouldn't, Major League Baseball, wouldn't even acknowledge 61 was the record. In fact, it had an asterisk next to it for the longest time because the season was a few games shorter at the time. And so baseball only, I don't remember the exact year, but only more recently, started to acknowledge it as an actual record and put it in the books. But for the longest time, 61 had an asterisk next to it. And And you know, the Roger Maris family was upset about that. I mean, I can remember this being a controversy. Well, hearing about it, it wasn't a controversy in that I ever talked about on the air, obviously. So I have to remember the date. If I can go back and look at the year when, 1991, thank you, Producer Jay, when they finally took the asterisk away and acknowledged it as the official American League record. So do you think it's a number worth celebrating? He's tied the record. He passed Babe Ruth with this home run to tie Roger Maris. But no one has come, well, I don't want to say no one's come close. But the record has stood for decades. And the fact that he did it in a Yankees uniform and that Roger Maris and Babe Ruth were both Yankees, there's something special about it. But I have heard complaints. Why are we focusing so much on Aaron Judge? It's not the single season record. And no, it isn't. Although if Roger Maris Jr. had his way, it might be.
I think it means a lot, and it's not just for me. I think it means a lot for a lot of people, you know, that he's clean, he's a Yankee, he plays the game the right way. And, you know, I think it gives people a chance to look at somebody who, you know, should be revered for hitting 62 home runs and not just as a guy who did it in the American League. He should be revered for, you know, being the actual single season home run champ. I mean, that's really who he is if he hits 62. And I think that's what needs to happen. I think baseball needs to look at the records, and I think baseball should do something.
So Roger Maris Jr. with that strong opinion, I don't agree with him. It's not that I want Barry Bonds to be the single season home run king. And it's obviously widely accepted that he was juicing. But you cannot tell the story of Major League Baseball without steroids and performance enhancing drugs. And who knows how many more home runs might have been hit had it not been for the pitchers who were juicing and maybe had a couple extra miles on their fastball. I mean, it's impossible to separate the power hitters from the rest of Major League Baseball who was also using performance-enhancing drugs. It just doesn't work that way. And baseball allowed the PED era to flourish and didn't correct it or implicate athletes or even set up rules to outlaw PEDs for the longest time. So while I do appreciate that Maris Jr. would like to see his dad's number and this record honored and elevated to a different place, 73 is the single season record, like it or not. I mean, it's the same thing with Barry Bonds being the home run king. Like it or not, until someone passes him, which I don't know that it will ever happen, that's just the climate that Major League Baseball created and that we now have to live with. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So there was talk about whether or not Aaron Judge was feeling the pressure since a week had gone by, since he'd hit home run number 60, and yet he was still getting on base. He was still hitting the ball. He was seeing strikes, though obviously there were some pitchers who were more cautious and who were careful around him. But yeah, he was asked the question of whether or not the pressure was getting to him.
I'm playing a kid's game. I love this. I love these moments, and especially a moment like that where it's a 3-3 game. You got a chance to, you know, get a guy in scoring position or drive a guy in. You know, those are the moments you live for. So I was just trying to soak it in and just go out there and do my job.
Right away, just yes. And then to see it bounce in the bullpen, you know, you're like, and just to see the spilling out and the excitement. And now I can't wait to watch all the different reactions of people. He's as beloved as they come. And I think everyone is just so excited for him. But also, I think I think it's partly because of how Aaron is, but everyone feels a part of it. And that's who he is. Pretty awesome setting up now for just an amazing atmosphere, I'm sure, again, in the Bronx starting Friday night. And, you know, it's good script so far. The fact that he's the face of your team and your best player, and the fact that he is completely about others on the team, it just makes me proud to have been, you know, been his skipper for the last 5 years now.
It was unbelievable. So happy for him. Not a more deserving person, in my opinion. The way he goes about his business, it's what a special night for us to be able to witness it. No one more equipped to rise to the challenge. The anticipation, you know, we've been waiting for it, waiting to get it over with. We're going to be waiting to get number 62 over with too, and get on to bigger and better things, hopefully in October for us.
Gerrit Cole on Aaron Judge hitting home run number 61. And if you didn't see it, all of, and it's all over social media. In fact, Jay, if you want to go ahead and retweet it from our show account after our CBS when you get a chance, the reactions are pretty amazing. Similar to when Albert Pujols hit his 700th home run and they stopped the game, and all of his teammates and his coaches and manager were out onto the warning track in front of the dugout to give him embraces and high fives. And then he had to go through the line once he got in the dugout. So it went on forever. But I don't know, Marco, if you were watching it with the audio up on TV, but I could actually hear in the background the home plate umpire say, take your time, take your time. So it was quiet there at the Rogers Center, right?
I mean,
there were some Yankees fans, but it wasn't the same atmosphere, right, the same din as you would hear at Yankee Stadium. I mean, the Yankee Stadium would have been insane until he did multiple curtain calls. He didn't even do one at Rogers Center. And it was quiet enough that I could hear the home plate umpire saying, take your time, take your time.
Yeah. I had the volume up, but I mean, it was, no, I couldn't hear that. I didn't hear that part of it, but that's, and I want to say it was Brian Onora behind the plate tonight, so that was a great job by him. I looked the box score to make check that out, but I did notice after the game was over, he actually grabbed Judge. It was the first time I've ever seen a home plate umpire grab a player as they were going on the field to shake hands and kind of pulled him aside and talked to him for just a second. Judge smiled and they walked away, so who knows what was exchanged there, but it's a good job by the home plate umpire to be cognizant of what's going on and not trying to, let's get the game going.
Take your time,
go through it. That's a really nice job by him.
I know, it was really cool. Also, is it not the most ironic thing ever that there was so much talk about who would get the ball and how the ball would be handled and whether or not the fan who got the ball would keep the ball for millions of dollars, and it ends up in the Blue Jays bullpen where a guy who works in baseball, who's part of the baseball fraternity, knows it's not about him, gives it to a member of the Yankees bullpen, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
And it gets returned to Judge after the game.
Pitching coach grabs it. I did see that the Blue Jays were very, very leery of giving it to somebody that came over that said they were part of Major League Baseball because they didn't know. They didn't know who was going to have credentials, who was trying to win. So Zach Britton went over.
Yes.
Reliever for the Yankees. They recognized him. They gave him the ball and figured, you know, once it's in Britton's hands, they know it's going to wind up being in Judge's hands. So everybody in the Blue Jay bullpen cognizant that somebody could make their way onto the field and try to snatch it. So they didn't want to give it to anybody that they did not recognize. So Zach Britton went over from the Yankee bullpen to go grab it.
Very smart. But I do think it's somewhat humorous that all the debate about what the ball could be worth and how much money and whether or not you give it back. And it turns out to be a guy in a bullpen who's like, this is not mine.
Yeah, the bullpen coach. Yeah, he's like, yeah, keep it. But I don't know. I don't look. And I'm not a collector. I'm not into this stuff. My question, why was 61 so valuable? I get 62. Even though it's not the record, I get it. He's passing Mary. Why was 61?
And I was thinking that, too. But I think it's because 61, that number, has been such an iconic number for so long.
I get it. But there was actually, we were looking this stuff up just because this has been such a big,
the record stood forever.
Right. And this is something that's been such a topic. But like 60 was going to be worth a lot of money. Like, you know, six figures. 61, possibly millions of dollars. 62, possibly like $2 million. The Albert Pujols 700 home run ball was supposed to look like $100,000. Like, am I in bizarre world?
Like, no, I agree with you. That's really bizarre. I'd rather have 700 than 61, but
I'm lost. I understand 700's not a record either, but
no, it's baseball immortality,
you're talking
though.
Talking about 700. I'm a little confused as to the value of some of this stuff. But again, it's not about what's more important. It's about what's valuable on the collector side,
yes,
which is different from everything else for baseball.
Right.
So it's just kind of funky to me that 61 is so valuable. To me, 62, I get it. Maybe even 60. I don't see why. It's a little confusing.
Mm. I don't understand it either, nor do I have that kind of money, so it's really not in my stratosphere.
No, I won't be at the stadium on Friday. I'll be here, so I'm not catching 62 either way, so we're good.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio will get you caught up on the rest of what happened in Major League Baseball, including multiple walk-offs, that NL East battle. But yes, home run number 61 for a record that stood since 1961. It's after...
Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the action on the field and in the dugout with season 2 of Play Loud. Follow some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in the field, and catch all the hilarious conversations between players off the field with unprecedented access. Watch episodes of Play Loud at youtube.com/MLB. Play Loud brings you baseball like you've never seen before.
Now you can enjoy MLB Play, the one app with all your favorite free MLB games. Enjoy Beat the Streak, Quick Pick, and more. Enjoy competing against friends. Enjoy unlocking exclusive rewards. Plus, your chance to win $5.6 million. Download MLB Play. Enjoy the app. Enjoy the show. MLB Play. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or older to enter Beat the Streak, which ends at the conclusion of the MLB regular season or when the grand prize is won. Restrictions apply. See MLB.com/play for official rules.
I'm Mandy Bell.
And I'm Sarah Langs.
We're reporters for MLB.com, and our new podcast, Fielding Questions, will explain why baseball players are so superstitious, what separates the best ballparks from the rest, and all those other things you always wanted to know about baseball. You know, the greatest sport in the world.
You can subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are leading change, building a team, or implementing new procedures, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Organizational Leadership gives you the tools for success. With concentrations in change, global, and servant leadership, you'll get the most relevant training and education to help you tackle any challenge. Visit gonzaga.edu/leader and find out how Gonzaga's organizational leadership degree can affect positive change in your life and career. That's gonzaga.edu/leader.
Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It swung on and hit deep left field. Lede is back. It is gone. A two-run home run by Eduardo Escobar. The Mets on the board. It's 4-2 Miami.
Swing on the ground, the right side, base hit, right field. Nimmo is in. Around third, Alonso coming to the plate. Anderson's throw way offline. Alonso scores the tying run with a head first slide. Going to third is Canna, and on at first with a two-run single is Eduardo Escobar. Pitch to Escobar. Swing on the ground ball, left field, base hit. Here comes Lindor around third. Lede's throw to the plate, up the third baseline. Lindor slides in head first safely, put it in the box. The Mets are back in first place. They'll take a one-game lead of the National League East into their three-game series in Atlanta. It's the Eduardo Escobar show. He is being mobbed between first and second base.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Have a night, Eduardo Escobar. Not only the 10th inning RBI single as the Mets walk off against the Miami Marlins and have to come from behind to do it, you hear Brendan Burke and then Howie Rose on Mets radio, but he has all five RBI in this game for the New York Mets. 3-for-5 with the 5 runs batted in, and this is where we stand with the Washington Nationals walking off in a win over the Atlanta Braves. The Mets take a 1-game lead, a very slim, very narrow margin over the Atlanta Braves into what is a weekend series in Atlanta. And because of the track of Hurricane Ian, it doesn't appear as though Atlanta will be affected. It looks as though the storm is going to curve out into the Atlantic, potentially pick up steam and fuel again, and then come back over land. In fact, to re-enter again and do that in Georgia, but north and east of Atlanta. So it seems as though Atlanta, if it gets rain, that would be it, is not going to be affected. Obviously, all sports leagues are monitoring the storm and what's happening, and we'll let you hear the latest with the NFL coming up. But buckle up, because it's Braves, the World Series champions, chasing the New York Mets as they head into a weekend series, and it's a one-game lead for New York. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's kind of fun to think about it, because all of the other divisions have been locked up. Now, there are some wild card races, wild card wrinkles, if you will, and we'll get to those. But for now, Mets, Braves, all focused on what's to come this weekend.
It's unbelievable for me. It's great. Great game tonight, especially because I needed the team, I needed the fan, and thank you. Now go to the Atlanta, play good over there.
We'll turn our attention completely towards them now on the plane ride, and I think everybody would have, are excited about the opportunity we have these last six games, which includes Atlanta down there.
Eduardo Escobar, clearly excited. An enthusiastic and energetic Eduardo on SNY. I love it. He's like oozing excitement.
To everybody, let's go, Mets.
Let's go, Mets. And then the calming force, the anchor, if you will, for the Mets manager, Buck Showalter. So as I say, the Nationals walk off against the Braves, but Matt Olson, Brian Snitker saying the same thing. Let's go.
That's the goal from the start of the year. You set out to win the division, put yourself in the best chance to succeed in the postseason. And for us, that's winning the division, and still got a chance to do it. And like I said, big series. I'm sure it's going to be a packed house there in Atlanta, so we're excited. It's been good crowds all year, and this is one of the biggest ones, so I know the fans will show up.
It's going to be fun. I mean, that's kind of why you play. And it'll be, I just hope we can play the games. And it'll be a great series. I mean, it's just two really good teams, obviously, going at it, and see what happens.
It's not the only postseason berth that's up for grabs. And both these teams will be playing in October, but there is a perk. There is a definitely the bye that is helpful that comes with winning the NL East. As for the wild card races, because the Brewers beat the Cardinals on Wednesday night, the National League looks like this. Padres have the second wild card. So either the Braves or the Mets will have that number one wild card far and away. Padres have a 2.5 game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies, who are sitting in that number three spot right now. The Brewers are a half game back. Because of their victory over the St. Louis Cardinals, they are a half game back. As for the American League, none of the wild cards have been clinched. Toronto has dropped back-to-back games to the Yankees, and so they are plus two over the Tampa Bay Rays, who have a half game lead over Seattle. How about that? Right now, the Mariners are in position with, they've got eight games to go. Eight games remaining, and they could end what is the longest postseason drought of the four major team sports, stretching all the way back to 2001.
Seals rise. Let's get it.
Let's talk to Lee for a moment here before the top of the hour. He's in Birmingham, Alabama. Welcome to After Hours, Lee.
Well, thank you for having me, Amy. I just wanted to talk about the 61 home runs. There's a little irony that goes with it. 1961, 61 home runs, 61 years almost to the day.
I know, isn't it phenomenal?
It is, and it's quite an accomplishment, and I think the Maris family's handling it with a lot of class and dignity.
Do you think it's a number and an achievement worth celebrating the way that it's been celebrated?
Absolutely, it's worth celebrating. It's an American League achievement. It's a Yankee achievement. It's a baseball achievement, and they need something big right now with the decline of fan support out there for baseball.
Mm-hmm. Well, Aaron Judge is good for that because people are drawn to him. He's one of those larger-than-life personalities with a game to match that you just naturally gravitate toward because of everything he brings to the table. And so I keep saying this. The Yankees better pay him everything that he wants and then some after this historic season in which he may actually win the Triple Crown. They've got no reason to not give him every last dime to keep him in town.
Absolutely. And let's hope he hits that 62nd home run on October the 1st, so it's 61 years to the day.
That's pretty crazy. You're right. It happened on October 1st, 1961, which was the last day of the season for Roger Maris, then where that asterisk came from. Lee, I appreciate the perspective. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Have a good morning.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook, so you can find us there. Also, our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Is it an achievement worth celebrating? He's tied the American League record. He's tied Roger Maris. It's not a single season record, but he's getting a lot of attention for it. Coming up next, we get to promote one of our favorite causes, Gridiron Greats, here on CBS Sports Radio.
Home to all the jaw-dropping moments. Home to all the best plays in the league. Home to your favorite players from the cities you love. MLB.tv is the home of streaming baseball. Home or away, catch all the MLB action this season with live and on-demand content across all your devices. Enjoy MLB Big Inning, select pregame and postgame coverage, and an expanded library of highlights and content. Never miss a moment of the action with MLB.tv. Stream every game from every team all season long with MLB.tv. Blackout and other restrictions apply.
Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the action on the field and in the dugout with Season 2 of Play Loud. Follow some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in the field and catch all the hilarious conversations between players off the field with unprecedented access. Watch episodes of Play Loud at youtube.com/MLB. Play Loud brings you baseball like you've never seen before.
Home to all the jaw-dropping moments. Home to all the best plays in the league. Home to your favorite players from the cities you love. MLB.tv is the home of streaming baseball. Home or away, catch all the MLB action this season with live and on-demand content across all your devices. Enjoy MLB Big Inning, select pregame and postgame coverage, and an expanded library of highlights and content. Never miss a moment of the action with MLB.tv. Stream every game from every team all season long with MLB.tv. Blackout and other restrictions apply.
Operators, start earning points with Lamb Weston's all-new Potato Perks app. Simply download the app and start earning points immediately. And right now as a bonus, get 500 points free just for registering, plus a product rebate up to $100. Redeem your points for goods for your business, like back-of-house smallwares, custom marketing materials, and more. Register today and get your free 500 points and a rebate up to $100. Visit go.lambweston.com/potatoperks to download.